that the Holy Spirit was saying to me that there's somebody in here with a skin disease. You've got a skin infection, and I'm not going to ask you to stand up because that's the last thing you really want to do is to do that. But I'm going to say this. I think it's probably even you're worried that it's an infectious skin disease. But I want to test God on that. So when we come to a ministry time at the end, would you come up to me and just say that you're that person, just quietly? We'll pray for you. I believe God wants to heal you from that, release you from that. From that embarrassment, from that stigma, from that pain. But we're not going to do that now. We want to do it just so when you feel more private and relaxed about that. But we are going to have a ministry time at the end. Who believes God wants to speak to you this morning? Okay. We're people of word and spirit, aren't we? And believe that when we open God's word, it's alive and that God speaks to us through words. And Pastor Jay and I were having a conversation earlier where sometimes you can hear the same passage read and preached about many, many times and it doesn't impact you. And then one time you'll open that Bible and you'll read those words and somebody will share something and it's as if you've never heard that passage before. And we're going to come to a passage that for many of us this morning is a very familiar one that Pastor Steve hinted at earlier. We're going to look at Jesus as our burden bearer, the person who bears our burdens, who lifts our burdens. And then what response do we have to that? We're in the middle of a series in August here where we've been looking at continuing the ministry of Jesus, doing the things that Jesus did. Being a type of people that don't just say that we're Christians, we actually put our faith into action. And we begin to live a life as Jesus would want us to live. And the Bible says that not only will we do the things that Jesus did, we'll see greater things. Now, can you imagine that? The fullness of Scripture and the fullness of the life of Jesus. And God says to us, we're still seeing potentially greater things than that. That's incredible, isn't it? So I believe that we should have a sense of expectation this morning, not because I'm preaching, not because Pastor Steve has been leading the service or because we've got a great service with Pastor Jay tonight, but because God is here by his Spirit and he wants to minister into us. And for some of you, this will be verses that you're very, very familiar with, but I believe God wants to say something new and fresh to you this morning. Let's put these familiar verses that Jesus reads about, speaks to us about rest for the weary. It's from Matthew chapter 11. There we are. Now, in the bulletin here, Pastor Chris was writing about the summertime being a restful time. And all of us want rest and release, don't we? If all we wanted was a physical rest, then we could go and take a nap for a couple of hours. If all we wanted was an emotional rest, well, we could zoom off on holiday for a week or so and come back refreshed and restored. But what about spiritual rest? What about our deepest spiritual needs being met? How can we obtain relief for those deepest, most heartfelt needs in our life? And more importantly, how can we begin to be people that release those things in the lives of others? That's where we're going this morning. I'm going to move microphones. Okay. So Jesus says these words, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. And you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Come to me and I will give you rest, Jesus says. Just want to talk very quickly about rest. There's two things here that are important about rest. First of those is rest for those people who labour, who toil, who work hard, even to the point of exhaustion. And some of you might have been that in your life, where you felt like life depends on how hard you work, on your self-effort, that you thought, if only I can do this, be good enough, try this, attempt this, then I might just be good enough to reach up and glimpse a taste of heaven. Just touch God for an instant. If I'm that good, I'm going to make myself, I'm going to work hard and really, really get to the standard that God requires. And of course, you've fallen short. You haven't managed that. You've been burdened by it, you've toiled, you've worked as hard as you can, and you've realised actually you're never going to match God's standard by
by yourself. And that's where the cross comes in. The cross of Jesus. It's the place of exchange where we leave our hard work and our self-effort, however good it might be, and we place our trust and our faith on Jesus. And he's the person that bridges that gap between us and God. And Jesus is saying, look, however good you are, whatever you think you can do in this life, your effort is not good enough. Your effort might be better than the person next to you, or behind you, or in front of you. Your effort might be the best effort in this building. But compared to me, it's still not good enough. And you need to rest from self-effort and rely on Jesus Christ and on his sinless life and death and resurrection. It's a place of exchange. My bad deeds are removed and placed on Jesus. And I'm in full credit, not because of my own effort, but because of Jesus Christ. And the second thing about rest, it's for rest for those who are heavy laden, who are loaded up, who are overburdened. I've got a visual aid that I want to show you. Anybody here ever carried a rucksack? Who's done that in the military? Anybody done military service and carried a rucksack? Okay, who's done like Duke of Edinburgh's Award or anything like that, or just done some hiking? Okay. I remember when I was a 14-year-old boy in the Boys' Brigade, considerably lighter than I am at the moment, considerably shorter as well. I was the shortest, I was the smallest boy in the youth group for about 5 years. And at the age of 14, I was sent off for a weekend to walk 15 miles in the wild, mountainous, rugged terrain of Surrey. And we were all given a rucksack like this, and I put it on, and I was staggering around, and it was so heavy, and I was losing my energy, and I thought, I just can't make this, and I was only walking from the church to the minibus. And actually, the rucksack was about as big as I am now, and I was about as big as the rucksack. And you used to pair up with people, and you used to split all the equipment, and you used to argue who had the heavier, I'll take the tent. No, the tent's heavier than the cooking equipment. You take the cooking equipment, I'll take the tent. So I had this massive rucksack, and I was a little lad, and we were walking in the hills of Surrey, walking around, and literally after about half a day, I didn't think I could go any further. The rucksack was too big, it was too heavy, my shoulders were aching. It felt like I was getting shorter and wider, because the sort of the weight of the rucksack was pushing me and burdening me down. And then two older lads, they were about 16, 17, they said, come here. And I thought they were going to clip me around the ear, but they didn't. They took my rucksack off. Can I use you two guys to do this for me? And they took one bit each. And as I was walking along, just hold it like that. As I was walking along, just follow me. The two of you, hold it a bit together. As I was walking along with no rucksack, they carried it. In fact, thank you guys. Thank you. You can help me carry it. You can help me carry it to the car later if you want. Actually, what they did was they put a pole in between the straps, and as well as carrying their rucksack for the rest of the day, they carried their rucksack, and they carried my rucksack on a pole for the rest of the day. And it's the only way I got through it. And that's a great picture of what Jesus wants to do with some of the stuff that we feel weighed down with and bogged down in our life. And if you've ever carried a heavy load like that, you know that absolute thrill that second that it's taken off. Oh, it feels like you're going to float up in the air, that suddenly, you know, you're going to defy gravity. Because that heavy thing that was weighing you down has gone. And some of you feel like that. It might be an illness that is your burden. It might be sin and guilt. It might be stuff that other people have done to you. It might be, you know, self-expectation that you haven't lived up to. Whatever it is. But just by the law of averages, there are people in here this morning who are feeling really burdened with life. And I want you to take that picture that God wants to take that burden off your back so that you can go on with the journey and you can finish that journey that he's called you to. And Jesus was the great lifter of burdens. You see, Jesus didn't come to rub our sins in. He came to rub them out. Jesus didn't come to add weight to our earthly burdens. He came to take those burdens away. And perhaps the first call this morning is for people to just come and rest in what Jesus wants to do in your life. To take that burden away. To release you when you think, I can't take another pace. I can't go any further. And Jesus goes on to say, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. What's he talking about there? We've got a picture coming up on the screen of oxen held together by a yoke. And the yoke is a type of wooden harness, as you see there, that holds a pair of oxen together. In fact, a pair of connected oxen was typically called a yoke of oxen. And in the Bible, in Jewish times, it's used metaphorically about linking yourself to a great teacher. So imagine that Pastor Steve was the great rabbi, and he invites a younger person here to be yoked to him. It means to sit at his feet, to learn everything that Steve has got to teach him, and then 5 minutes later, move on. No, I was only joking. I rebuke that insult in the name of Jesus. So when Jesus is saying this, he's giving people this image of saying, look, if you want me as your leader, as your teacher, as your guide in life, come and be yoked to me, just like a pair of oxen are yoked together. And so when he talks about that, two immediate pictures come up for people. First, throughout the New Testament, there's the talk of a yoke of rules and religion. It's man's yoke. And some of you might have suffered from that. You've perhaps been brought up in a tradition, or your understanding of Christianity is it's all about rules and regulations. And you think, if somebody says it, I've got to do it. I've got to be like this, and I've got to try to do this and that. And you found that actually that yoke of rules and regulations of religion actually crushes you. It's as burdensome as carrying a worldly pack, because it doesn't free you. It's not life-giving. It doesn't bring liberty. It just feels you like you've got the weight of a religion on your shoulders. And that's not what Jesus is talking about. In Galatians 5, that's talked about as a yoke of slavery. It's bondage. It captures you. Doesn't release you. That's not the yoke that Jesus is talking about. He's talking about a yoke of relationship. Jesus says that his yoke is easy, well-fitted. It fits the need. See, rules and religion haven't got much to play in a relationship with Jesus. But if we're really yoked with him, if we're as close to Jesus as those oxen are, it's going to mean three things. Firstly, there's something there about being connected, isn't there? And being close together. Be with me, Jesus is saying. Yokes are made for two, not one. If that was a picture of just one ox with a yoke, it would look a bit stupid, wouldn't it? Because there's a gap where the other ox should be. We're not meant to go through life on our own. We're not meant to go through life living apart from God. We're not meant to be Christians and live our lives without a closeness and an intimacy to Jesus. That's why when Pastor Jay was preaching last week about prayer and that prayer closet and that private intimate time with God, that's so crucial to life, not necessarily as a Christian, but as a disciple, yes. You're going to grow and really be a disciple. You're going to want that intimacy. Remember that occasion when Peter has denied Jesus three times, and Jesus is led off for trial and eventual execution. And the Bible tells us that Peter followed Jesus at a distance. And perhaps some of us have begun to realize that our lives of following Jesus are lives where we're following him, but we're not yoked to him. We're following him at a distance. And other things are getting in the way. See, if you're yoked to Christ, you're going to be so close to him, head to head, that you're going to hear his whisper. You're going to feel his breath, the breath of life on you. because you're that close to him. That's the first thing that the yoke talks about, being connected. And the next thing it talks about is direction. Jesus says, follow me. Those two animals are going to go in the same direction. So you can't be yoked to Jesus and do your own thing, go your own way, live your life anymore. Doesn't work. Jesus is going to direct your paths. In that, quite often, farmers would yoke an older, experienced, stronger animal together with a younger, more inexperienced, not so strong animal. And the real burden of the yoke would be taken on the older, more experienced animal, but the younger animal would follow in the same direction and would learn and gradually would take more and more of the burden. And Jesus is saying, if you're going to be yoked to me, you're not just going to be close to me, you're going to go in the same direction. In fact, you're going to be released from having to find your own direction, because I'll lead you and you just stay by my side. Isn't that just a liberty for some of us? We haven't got to find our own pathway in life. God will do it for us. That's incredible. And then there's also the spirit of cooperation. If you're yoked together, actually you're going to be a worker. Jesus is saying, do you want to be a fellow worker in the kingdom of God? Do you want to be a fellow worker in God's plans and purposes for this world? Then be yoked with me. Joined together, discovering that your life makes an internal impact. And of course, when you're yoked together with Jesus, the other thing is you're going to learn that he controls your speed. So for some of us, that means we're going to have to start going a bit quicker than we'd like. For others of it, it's going to mean, hey, slow down. You're moving too fast. Let God take you at the pace that he wants to take you. For some of us, that's a frustration, but let God lead you and go where he wants you to go. And you see that all of those things, they're all quite active. Connection, direction, cooperation, be with me, follow me, work with me. But Jesus says all of those things lead to rest. Not falling down asleep rest, spiritual rest, peace. Pastor Steve was mentioning this morning, those things only come from being connected with Jesus. You can spend the rest of your life trying to find peace and rest and fulfillment in loads of other ways, and you'll never do it. You've got to be connected closely to Jesus. And in 1 John 5, we read these great little words. This is love for God, to obey his commands. Listen to this, 1 John 5:3. And his commands are not burdensome. Isn't that incredible? You see, some of us might have been brought up to think that obedience to commands is a burdensome thing. Earthly religious rules and regulations are burdensome. But if you're obedient to the command of God, it's not burdensome. My yoke is easy, says Jesus, and my burden is light. Now, some of us stop when our burdens are lifted by God, and we thank him for that, and it's right to do so, but we never move on. We just stay in that position of saying, thank you, God, that you've lifted my burdens. Thank you that you've saved me. It's fantastic. I'm free. I'm free from burden. But if we're going to really live more like Jesus, we're going to move a couple of stages further. And the first of those stages is we're going to be somebody who lifts the burdens of others. We're going to be somebody who, through the blood of Christ and in the power of the Holy Spirit, we're going to be persons that lift burdens from others. Look at the life of Jesus. Jesus, the ultimate burden bearer, the ultimate burden lifter. When everybody else was in situations that were making people worse, Jesus was relieving them and releasing them from their burden. Think of the story that he told of the lost son. Jesus telling that story, three stories in Luke chapter 15, to release people from the burden of lostness. This son of mine was lost, but now he's found. Jesus says, the Son of Man has come to seek and save the lost. And if you're feeling lost, spiritually lost, without direction in life, Jesus wants to release you from that burden of lostness. Other people in that story, the older son, wanted to bring nothing but condemnation. But Jesus didn't want to do that. Jesus brought release. What about the rejection of a Zacchaeus, who spent years suffering because he's a tax collector, he's marginalized himself, he's despised. He can't even get close to Jesus, he has to go up a tree to see him. And Jesus, rather than what everybody else does, pushing him away, says, Zacchaeus, I'm not going to reject you. In fact, I'm going to come and have a meal with you in your house to show that I'm on your side and you're on my side. That's how close we're going to be. And then he says, today, not rejection has come to this house. Salvation has come to this house. You see, there's a crowd of people who would have loved to give Zacchaeus anything but salvation. But Jesus wasn't the crowd. Jesus is God. And he wants to break burdens and release people from their burden. What about the burden of sin and guilt? The woman taken in adultery. A bunch of religious leaders ready to stone her and kill her. And they give a puzzle to Jesus. They think that he's never going to get out of it. And he says, I'll tell you what, the one who has never sinned at all, you can throw the first stone then. And they all throw their stones, but they throw them on the ground and walk away one by one. And Jesus says, where are those that condemn you? Well, they've gone. Well, I don't condemn you either. Religious leaders ready to condemn, but Jesus breaks a burden and releases from sin and from guilt. What about sickness? What about the man at the pool of Bethesda who's been there 38 years? Some of you think our service is going a long time. He's been there 38 years. He's probably even got used and quite happy in a glum way to his illness and his disability. And Jesus releases him from 38 years of burden. He says, take up your mat and go. And the man's made well. See, Jesus was the burden lifter. And we've got a choice today. We've got a choice today. We can be people who lift the burdens of others, or we can be people who make those burdens worse. Listen to these verses from Matthew chapter 23. Jesus is talking to the crowds and he says this about the teachers of the law and the Pharisees. Do not do what they do, for they do not practice what they preach. Those of us who are preachers know that that's perhaps the biggest criticism you can level against us. That we don't practice what we preach. I'll give you 5 seconds and then I'm moving on. But he says this even worse. Listen to this. They tie up heavy loads and they put them on men's shoulders. But they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to move them.
Wow.
Imagine if on a Sunday morning, the first Sunday in September, you came into church and Pastor Chris and Pastor Jay and Pastor Steve and myself were standing at the door and we handed you an empty rucksack. And all the way through the service, we kept coming up and we kept putting bricks into your rucksack. And by the end of it, you were so weighed down and heavy and you walked out the door, you think, well, I'm never going back there again. That's the type of picture that Jesus was painting of religious leaders who weren't liberating people, but were weighing them down with guilt and with shame and with legalism. And you know, we can do that even unknowingly. I know I've done it myself. I know I've met people who are in a burdensome situation. They're struggling. And I've said something and I've made it worse. Or I've done something and I've added to the load. Or I haven't done something that I could have done. And I've weighed them down. And if we're really going to begin to do the things that Jesus did and continue his ministry, we're going to have a sensitivity for people who are burdened. We're going to be people who want to avoid others being crushed by the weight of the burden. We're going to be wanting to be like those two men, those two young lads that helped me, and when they picked that rucksack up and carried me. So it's not enough just to thank God for releasing us from our burdens. We're going to begin to see people through the eyes of Jesus. We're going to see burdensome people, and we're going to want to relieve them. You know, one of the many ways that we can define people is, are they giving you a burden? Are they releasing you from a burden? If we're going to be like Jesus, we're going to look out for those that need their burdens lifted. Just as we bring this into land, there's a third slide that I want to put up. And Paul talks about bearing each other's burdens in Galatians 2. Galatians 6, rather, at the start of that chapter, he spends a lot of time. He says this: carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. It's just what we've talked about, isn't it? Helping carry each other's burdens. Releasing people from that burden that they can't carry on their own. But hold on. 3 verses later, he says this: for each one should carry his own load. Hold on a minute. Is he getting confused? Has he contradicted himself? Is this one of the places in the Bible where we can say, the Bible's fallible, it's messed up, it's contradicting itself? Answers on a postcard, please, to the City Temple office this week. This is the answer. Carry each other's burdens. The Greek word, therefore, burdens, is an overbearing load that you can't possibly carry on your own. Something that weighs you down, that will crush you, that will break you. A rucksack that's physically too big to carry. Paul says if you see anybody like that, if you're going to fulfill the law of Christ, you need to help them with that burden. Help them carry it. Release them from it. Take that weight off them. But the word there for each one should carry his own load is like a personal pack. The personal responsibility that you carry for yourself. I can manage this one. Because I know I filled it this morning. There's not much in it. You see, the third stage is that when we've thanked God for having our burdens released and for Jesus, the great burden bearer, and we've started looking around and seeing that there are other people whose burdens that we can help with, we realise that actually part of the call of discipleship is to take stuff upon ourselves. You know, the free gift of God being released from our burdens, that is a free gift, that's unconditional. But there is a condition. There's an option in discipleship when Jesus says, if anyone take up his cross and follow me. You see, you can live as a Christian and just be selfish in that place and thanking God for your burdens going. But really taking up your cross means you're looking at other people and you're taking something on yourself from God. And each of us is called to carry what God gives us in our backpack. You're going to manage it because God's never going to give you anything that you can't manage. With his strength, he'll give it to you. But it will be, it's like we've had an earthly burden taken away and God gives us a heavenly burden in its place. And so for some of us, that heavenly burden will be to pray and intercede for the nations, for a particular nation. It'll be to be involved in working with children. It'll be to sacrificially give into projects and ministries that we know God's calling us to. For some of us, it's a burden for a particular person, that we are going to be on their case and praying for them, on our knees for them, until they come to faith. For some, it's a particular burden for those who are lost on the streets of Cardiff, for those who are marginalised, for those who are broken. And you see, the thing is that God will give you the strength to carry your burden. You might not be able to carry the burden of the person next to you. You might think, the last thing I could think of would be that my burden would be for the nations or for going on mission trips. Or you might say, I just could never work with children. But the person next to you, that thing quickens their heart. Because they know that's the burden that God has given them. Are you getting this?
Yeah.
Okay, good. That's good. So I wonder, what burden is Jesus asking you to carry? Well, perhaps, you know, you might not even be in this place yet. But let's leave that for a moment. What about over here? Those of you that are Christians and you're going on with the Lord. If you haven't got a burden from Christ, something that you know he's calling you to be a co-worker in. I can't tell you what it is. Only the Holy Spirit can tell you what it is. But if you haven't got that burden, then in a moment, as we come to a time of ministry, I'm going to pray that the Holy Spirit will reveal to you. And hey, here's something very practical. That burden might be a person who doesn't yet know Christ. And you can do something very, very practical about that tonight by bringing that person along to the guest service tonight. That's one simple thing that you can do. How do you know it's a burden? If you've got a picture or a name in your mind and you just can't get rid of it, something that quickens your heart, something that quickens your spirit. When somebody says something to you, when you read it, when you hear other people, you get excited about it. You know that that's what God is burdening with you in terms of his kingdom ministry. I wonder if the band would come back. Just in these last moments, we're going to pray together. We're going to seek God. And we're going to look at it in these three ways. Firstly, we're going to pray for those of you who've never had that spiritual burden lifted. You're sitting here this morning and you know that you are not yoked with Jesus Christ. Guys, if you just want to play something in the background, it'd be great. So let's have every head bowed and every eye closed for the moment. Right now, God's speaking to those of you who feel tremendously burdened with life, with sin, with guilt, with lostness, with shame. And you need that forgiveness and that direction and that closeness that the cross of Christ can bring you and the yoke of Jesus. You know, Jesus was a carpenter. There was probably a sign outside his carpentry shop with his father that said, "Buy our yokes, they fit easily." And if right now you'd like to give yourself to Christ and relieve yourself of all of your earthly burdens, just in the stillness and the quietness, just put your hand up right where you are so I can see you. Okay, thank you. Thank you. Father, thank you for these men and women that have responded, and I pray right now, Lord, that image of you taking a big pack from their back would be real in their lives, taking away the burden of their sin and their shame and their pain and their guilt. Release them from that, I pray, and bring new life in the name of Jesus. We're going to come to this end now. I wonder those of you that just need a revelation from God. You know that your Christian life is getting a bit self-indulgent and you just need that revelation from God. You want to say, "Lord, would you give me a heavenly burden so that I can be of some earthly use and I can be part of your kingdom purposes? I want to be so close to you. I want to be a co-worker. Would you reveal to me now what that burden should be? Would you confirm to me now what I'm already thinking?" If you just need that revelation or that confirmation of God from God, why don't you stand right where you are now? You've got the name or the face of a person on your heart right now and you know that they're burdened, you're burdened for them. Why don't you stand as well? Father, we thank you that you say your yoke is easy and your burden is light. And we're simply standing to signify that we want to be yoked to you. We want to be co-workers with you. We want to be close to you. We want to go in the direction that you want us to go. We want to go at the speed that you want us to go at. And we want to be about your business. So right now, Lord, Holy Spirit, would you bring confirmation into these lives? Father, supernaturally, would you enable these people to minister to the names and the faces that you brought to their attention right now? And Father, we pray, forgive us if we've ever added to people's burdens. Pray right now that we would be burden lifters, we would be burden bearers. That through the blood of Jesus, through the power of the Holy Spirit, we would bring Jesus into the lives of others so that they might know the freedom of having a burden released.
Yes,
and Father, as we continue to seek your Holy Spirit now, we pray that if there are people in this building who are feeling burdened with illness, with sickness, with disease, with guilt, with shame, whatever it might be, and that rucksack, that bag is still heavy on their shoulders, if that's you, I wonder if you'd want to come right to the front right now. If you know you've got a burden and you need prayer, you need a release from that. Not necessarily going to ask you what it is unless you want to tell us. I wonder if the ministry team, if we've got any elders here or Kingdom Academy people, who begin to pray for these folk. Just take the image of those two men coming up to me and taking that heavy load from my back, and the release that I felt, that's the release that God wants to bring to you right now.